Good morning, Broadway family and friends. I want to take a couple of moments before we begin our lessons just to discuss with you some measures that we need to take to heart. And most of all, we need to be extremely clear in the fact that God wants us whole and healthy. And for you to particularly pay particular attention to those who've been trained and those who continue to train as doctors in how to best cope with this coronavirus. There are a lot of would-be doctors and those who think that they know best, but pay attention to the professionals so that we can be whole and healthy and come back together again to worship in corporate prayer and corporate worship, where we're together once again. But be mindful that God wants you whole and healthy, physically, emotionally, spiritually, in all manner. He wants you whole and healthy. So we need to be cognizant of the fact that he's placed certain people here so that they can guide us toward that health, that spiritual health, physical health, emotional health, and mental health. And God wants us whole and healthy. Let me begin this lesson today with outlining to you that it's about unity and purpose with God. How do we have unity and purpose with God? In last week's message, we studied being open and receptive to the message in God's Word, opening ourselves up so that we're receptive to God's Word and be able to use it as a guide for our lives. Today's message examines one of the ways a person can hear from God. How do we hear from God? How do we recognize that it is the Word of God and the voice of God speaking to us in an inaudible form? People say things like, God spoke to me, or the Lord told me. Now, what does that mean? Did they hear an audible voice like Samuel did? How can I hear from God? Many people wonder. We primarily hear from God by regularly spending time reading the Bible and obeying what it says. That is God's written word, and it becomes his spoken word when we translate from the Bible. The Bible is God's message to humankind. Everything we need to know to live the Christian life is already in the Bible. As we spend time meditating on his word, God reveals his truth to us. Now today we will examine six ways the Bible says God speaks to us. There are many others, but I wanted to focus on these six for this lesson. Number one, God speaks to us through scripture. We understand that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God is thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Second, God speaks through gifted teachers whose source is the Bible. Again, let me reiterate that, whose source is the Bible. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Romans 12:6-8 tells us. Another area that God speaks to us through difficulties. Difficulties we encounter as a matter of life. And we read here in Psalms 119:67-68. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I obey your word. You are good, and what you do is good. Teach me your laws. We learn through difficulties. Difficult situations that we encounter, whether it's physical, emotional, financially, whatever the difficulties are, we can learn a lesson from that encounter. Number four says, God speaks through his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is constantly at work with us. But the advocate, John 14, 26 says, but the advocate is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of everything I've said to you. Again, that comes to us from John 14, 26. The Holy Spirit being a teacher to us. But we learn from the Holy Spirit and hear from the Holy Spirit through their Holy Word. Number five, God speaks through his creation. Psalm 19, 1 and 2 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. Again, that's from Psalms 19, 1 and 2. God speaks to us through his creations. But we have to be sensitive and attuned enough to understand that it is God speaking to us. So sometimes it takes quiet moments where we're quiet. And in that still, we hear that still voice, quiet voice of the Lord speaking to us. That's why sometimes solitude and self-reflection is so healthy for all of us. God speaks through whatever or whomever he chooses, but never in disagreement with the Bible. Let me repeat that. God speaks through whomever or whatever he chooses, but never in disagreement with the Bible. So if someone speaks to you in disagreement with the Bible, you know that it is not God speaking. Job 33 and 14 says, for God does speak, now one way, now another, through no one perceives it, though no one perceives it. Can anything keep us from hearing God? Is a question that some ask. Can anything keep us from hearing God? The answer is yes. What is it that can keep you from hearing God's word when God's directed that word to you? First of all, wrong attitudes, resentment, or unconfessed sins can create distance in our relationship with God where we can't receive the message he's trying to deliver to us. Let me go through those again. Having the wrong attitude. And that wrong attitude may be a haughty attitude, a know-it-all attitude that you think you have the answers already. Then you won't hear the word of God. Resentment will cause you to not hear God. And unconfessed sins can create distance in our relationship with God, which causes us to not be able to hear the message that he's delivering. When this happens, confession and repentance will bring us back into a close relationship where we can hear from God again. You see, we can separate ourselves from God, but God will not separate himself from us. But he cannot hear us when we've moved away from him. This week, we'll examine our relationship with the Lord in developing a unity of spirit and purpose. Developing a unity of spirit and purpose. Some benefits to believers and followers of Jesus Christ include encouragement. Number one, encouragement. We have support because we're united with Christ. Our relationship with God is therefore restored and renewed. Restored and renewed. It is Christ who encouraged us to pursue a godly life with passion and energy. It is Christ who makes us complete. Jesus grants us favor with the Father, and this is indeed an encourager for a godly life. Another benefit is one of comfort. We receive comfort from the love of God. It is the love of Christ that brings meaning to life and allows us to live. It is this love that enables us to love others. It is this love that makes us complete. Love that died for us, the source of our pure comfort, Jesus gives us that security. Another way, the benefit of believers and followers of Jesus, through our relationship with the Lord, we receive fellowship with the Holy Spirit. We have a special blessing and relationship with God through the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who enables us to live the Christian life. The ever-present Holy Spirit enables us to live the Christian life. It is the Holy Spirit who cleanses our carnal and worldly nature. It is the Holy Spirit that bestows gifts on every believer. Next, we look at the tenderness and compassion available to all Christians. Christ has shown love and compassion to us through his coming to earth and living as a human being. His death on the cross and the resurrection in this compassion that comes, the basis for our service and mercy toward others. Let me repeat that. The death of Christ on the cross and then his resurrection is this compassion that becomes the basis for our service and mercy toward others. The next area we want to look at is the completion of our joy. Completion of joy and understanding exactly what joy is. Paul writes that joy will be made complete. It's not just his joy, but also the joy of Jesus that will be complete. We're striving for service to God and a strong relationship with Jesus. When Jesus' joy is complete, ours will also be perfected. We're to be like-minded to Jesus, which causes us to study the Word of God and remain steadfast in our study so that we can be of like-minded with Jesus. We should have our focus on the same things as Christ and be focused in the same direction as Christ. We should agree on specific doctrinal areas, and we do not always have to agree on everything. That will not happen. Then we must agree to disagree and allow Christ to be Lord and leader. We should be the same love with Christ. We should have the same love for Christ. The church is founded on Christ's love. Each believer is rooted in this love. Therefore, we have Christ in common, and his love moves forward. As Christians, we have this love in common. We should then love one another. We should always end petty arguments and disagreements. Love becomes the key to end the troubles in our lives. It was love that ended the power of sin in the human existence. Love still breaks the bond of iniquity, of jealousy. It breaks the bond of shame and of guilt. We're to be one in spirit. We have so much in common. There must also be a similar spirit. The Bible teaches us that we should have the same aspects of the Christian life. There needs to be a spirit of anticipation and expectancy. God is going to work in this space. God will work in our community, in our loved ones, and in our lives as well. We must be one in spirit, Spirit of God. We are to be one in purpose. We should have a common purpose and a standard set of goals for the church. We must set the call of Christ first in our lives. Let me repeat that. We must set the call of Christ first in our lives. This call sets us apart from the rest of the world. We are following where Christ leads, and he is in control. Our purpose needs to be in Jesus' key message of Luke, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Another area of major concern in our study and honing our skills and refining our relationship with God is humility of heart. Let's examine our fundamental attitude. We're called to not be selfish. We are to be selfless. Christ came to serve, not to be served. Remember, he gave himself as a ransom for all humankind. And this was the most selfless act in all of history. Christ gave up his position, his place in heaven, to become human. He did what no one else could do. He bridged the gap between God and humanity. His selfless act is the motivation for our behavior. Our love for Christ becomes the driving force of our lives. It becomes the central point of all existence. As Christians, we should consider others before ourselves. Being selfless, consider others before ourselves. When we're selfish and act in selfish ways, we place others in the background. When we say things that hurt others, it is contrary to the teachings of Jesus Christ. When we fail to care for others, it lessens our humanity. When we use other people to get what we want or need, it diminishes our humanity. Jesus completed our humanity by being fully and totally in service to others, and we're to do likewise. We're to take care of ourselves. Paul states that we are to take care of our responsibilities, care for ourselves and our families, our communities, our church. We're to be diligent in these responsibilities. We're to take care of others. We're to take care of our families, those entrusted to us. Jesus took care of his mother Mary even as he was dying. He set into motion the means that she would be cared for. Jesus took care of many others. He went out of his way for the outcasts. He healed the sick and taught the poor. He loved people enough to care about them and to take care of them. We are called to do nothing less than what Jesus did as our guide. There's a faithful outcome when we follow the teachings of Christ. When we serve others, we become more like Christ. We take on more of his attitude and more of his love. We remove some of our fleshy humanity and put on more of his glory and his grace. Our goal should be more Christ-like. When we act more like Christ, we become more like him. It takes a full effort to become more like the Savior. We must surrender our selfish nature, our jealousies, and all pettiness amongst us to become more like Christ. As we conclude now, let me leave this parting message. May God strengthen us all in all areas of our lives to be more like Jesus and follow God's holy scriptures. Now, until we meet again, may God continue to bless you and your loved ones, and may he continue to hold you close, protect you, and guide you and yours in all of the decisions you will make. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, should anyone want to discuss this lesson, please give me a call. Or if you just want to talk, give me a call. I'm available at your service. Good night. Have a wonderful week. And I will speak to you again next week, if not sooner. God bless you all.